All right, so Moddy, we are gearing up for the game between the Sydney Swans and St Kilda Football Club. At the moment, the reserves are playing here at the SCG. We've got a great view of the ground, bird's eye view.
We're looking, it's beautifully lit, and there's still the old cricket ground on the right with, you know, the clock tower and stuff like that.
With the rainbow flag on the top, mind you.
Exactly. And above the big scoreboard, the Sydney Cricket Ground lettering is awash with rainbow colours.
And we have two more very special guests with us tonight. We'd like to introduce you to Amanda Frugia and the Greater Western Sydney Giants captain for the AFLW, and Renee Forth, one of the marquee signings for GWS. Amanda, you're a full-time PE teacher at the Western Sydney Girls School, as well as a footballer. I think your nickname's the Fridge.
The fridge. A big unit.
And unfortunately, Renee, you busted your ACL.
Yeah.
That you couldn't play for the season. But
slightly slower start for you.
Yeah, slower start. I'll have to wait till next year to see you on the field during the competition. But, you know, we were reflecting today, weren't we, Moddy, that, you know, a year ago, it hadn't even been announced that the AFLW would happen. I think it wasn't announced till September 2016. Did you know that it was about to be launched? Where were you at a year ago with all of that?
Because you're on the inside, we wonder.
Yeah, look, there are a few whispers about something about a women's competition, a national women's competition, but you don't really think too much about it or read too much into it, only because, you know, there have been 100 years of women's involvement in AFL, but no murmurings or talk about the opportunity for a national competition. So when there were whispers at the higher level, we thought this could actually really happen. I know it was projected to be 2020, but they fast-tracked it to 2017 and just
extraordinary, wasn't it?
It was fantastic.
Came out of Fee and I and the rest of the Chicks Talking Footy team, we started at the start of last year, half an hour on a Wednesday night, just talking about footy, and then all of a sudden, halfway through the year, bang, this game came up, and then the AFLW, we could not have been more excited.
We feel like we've jumped on a very big wave, don't we?
It's just been thrilling.
So do we.
Some of the girls went to be household names in the country overnight, didn't they? And it was a really exciting time.
We were just happy that it happened so early because we're two of the elder players. So if it hadn't happened in 2020, I think it might have been past us with all the talent that's coming through now.
It's great that it is, though, Renee, isn't it? It's great that it did start now, and I presume every year there's going to be more put into training and so that there are more players coming up and under and up, you know, and really fattening out the team, so there's a lot more to choose from.
Talking about numbers of players,
not
feeding them too many carbs.
No, well, I think we know that they wouldn't take them even if I fed them.
I just had a meat pie, don't tell anyone.
And we'll keep that quiet from your coaches.
Now, the theme tonight, obviously, is equality and inclusion of the LGBTI community in football. It's been fascinating to watch, you know, the women be so comfortable with their sexuality. You know, Beck from the Chicks Talking Footy team and I went down to the red carpet best and fairest night, and it was great just seeing the women walk in with their partners hand in hand. And, you know, of course, Erin Phillips kissed her wife on the lips when she won the award. How has that affected the culture of the club at GWS, do you think, with the women's league?
Look, I mean, we've never really, it's never really been an issue in women's footy. The girls are much more open and comfortable in expressing themselves in any way, shape or form. And in terms of sexuality or sexual orientation, it's never really been an agenda item. The girls have been made to feel comfortable in expressing their own identity in any facet, whether it be, you know, dyeing your hair a different colour or having alternative views about something or having a same-sex partner. So for us, it's a non-issue, and we welcome everybody with open arms. And the men are slowly starting to make inroads in trying to change that sort of that culture of homophobia, and particularly the use of homophobic language. But it will take a bit of time for that to be broken down a bit more on the men's side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you think that might happen?
Well, I think there needs to be some strong advocates for better language, and I think that's the first place you could start, because in terms of language, I mean, everybody is in control of what they say, and unfortunately sometimes in a football sense, particularly at the younger levels, boys start learning that using particular language is a way to express masculinity when it's actually not, and it's actually quite derogatory. So I think we just need to do more to challenge at, from a younger age, what is the right way to refer to particular people, and what is actually a derogatory term. And hopefully we can, if we start earlier, it can put us in a good stead for the future when they become adults.
It makes such a difference, doesn't it? And I mean, it should be obvious, but to just say to someone like you're advising, oh, actually, that's the right terminology, not that, from when they're a young age, then you're sending them down the path. That's the ideal, isn't it? Mm. But yet it can go so wrong sometimes. So the next season for you guys, when does that start?
Training starts in early November, I think.
Yeah, November 13th is when we start.
And are you right to go?
Yeah, I will be. I'll be 13 months post-op then, so I'm not looking at being a player in rehab or coming back from rehab. I'm just going to be at the same level as everyone else, just ready to go. So
that's great.
I don't want to be ticking any boxes when we come to pre-season of the AFLW.
So, Renee, you're from WA. Yep. So did you move over straight away, and then have you stayed here since, or did
yes.
you go back in between? You just went, no, I'm coming over and I'm staying.
No. So when you were just talking about the partners walking down the carpet hand in hand, I was one of those. So I moved across from WA with my partner, Emma Swanson. She made it in the team as well. So we both got...
In GWS?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we both cool. played together. So I think same thing. We're just there to play footy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Emma and myself stayed, and we've gotten jobs at the football club. So that's really good. We get to hang around the club, and it's a great place to be. And we're still here and enjoying it. It's very busy, different to the lifestyle back home. Like, we do miss the lifestyle. Our dogs are back there. So there's a few things that kill us on the inside, but we love the opportunities that are happening over here.
And the club... No, obviously very accepting of you guys playing, but also working there. And what role are you filling?
I am doing some logistical operations stuff. I don't know exactly my title, but I help setting up with the bump-ins for the games, for the home games. So I organise that, and I also organise the interns on the admin side. So I'm busy, but I only work 3 days a week.
We're talking to Amanda Frugia, and Renee Forth from the Greater Western Sydney AFLW team. We're here at the Pride Game at the SCG. You can follow us on social media with hashtag Pride Game, hashtag AFL Swans Saints, or Chicks Talking Footy, hashtag Pride Game Joy. And we'd love to hear your messages and your thoughts about the Pride Game. So,
I've got one question. That I forgot to ask.
Please ask.
Why are you called Fridge?
Well, as you can see, I'm an extremely large physical specimen.
Yeah.
163 kilos. When I first introduced myself at club football, I said my name was Amanda Frugia, and obviously I was a bit nervous and spoke too fast, and Frugia got condensed down to Fridge. Yeah. So that nickname has stuck like glue.
Don't take it the wrong way, but maybe Bar Fridge.
Bar fridge. So I have a little sister, so she's the bar fridge, and she's actually smaller than I am, if that's actually humanly possible. So
even an Esky, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
All right. All right. Well, what are you doing tonight? Where are you sitting at the game? What are you looking forward to?
I'm not quite sure where we're going to be sitting, but I'm definitely just looking forward to... Oh, hopefully just down here. It's a nice view.
We can throw things at you for that. We're up on the third level of the SCG.
Look, I guess the importance of this game is just to increase the profile a little bit and send a message out there, particularly for the types of fans that we've got coming to this game. I think it's important to get the message out there to parents in particular, parents who have young kids, because they're the ones that are going to be teaching their kids about what the right thing is to say and do, and send the messages about inclusivity and acceptance of diversity. So message for the parents tonight is hopefully going to be super strong, and they're the ones that hopefully are going to be hearing it and using it and implementing it with their own kids.
Yeah, fantastic.
And well done you guys for getting the message out too.
Yeah. There's a Bay 13, which is officially the Pride Bay tonight. So
that's where we'll be at.
That's where a lot of the rainbow will be.
That's the party bay.
The party bay. Wasn't Bay 13 where David Boone?
Yeah, at the MCG. It was the MCG, sort of, yeah, section.
Merv Hughes, sorry.
Sorry, we digress.
David Boone did other things.
They had moustaches.
Yeah, quite right. Exactly.
Well, enjoy the game, girls, and thank you so much, Amanda and Renee, for coming and chatting to us at the AFL Pride game tonight. Go and paint the town rainbow.
All right. Certainly will. Thank you very much for having us.